Good afternoon, everyone. So I realize I have the fortunate and unfortunate privilege of being the last speaker of the last panel. So I'll keep that in mind and I'll try and be brief so that we can have plenty of time for discussion. Given that I'm the only education student on the panel, I thought I would focus my talk around youth development and educational implications and reform. I'll start by highlighting youth development processes and the way that intimacy is used to formulate relationships. In the life of an adolescent, intimacy becomes an extremely important process in fostering and developing relationships and also in sustaining them. And so youth tend to self-disclose more so in this period of their life. And what happens is they begin to use media because they are digital citizens living in a digital world. They use media as a platform in which to foster these relationships, build intimacy, and ultimately self-disclose. This becomes problematic because cultural norms, although similar to offline worlds and somewhat mirrored to offline worlds, are also being recreated and changing consistently and constantly on online worlds. And so youth are really struggling to navigate through these complexities and, like us, really trying to understand what are the boundaries between public-private space, what is inappropriate joking, and what is actual harmful behavior. This is demonstrated in some research that we've done, funded by our Facebook grant, where we approached pre-Facebook students and then Facebook students, so 12 to 15-year-olds, and asked them where they saw the line between inappropriate joking and harmful behavior. And also we asked them to define the line between how they see public and private space. And as you can see from this quote here, their youth are still struggling to define that for themselves, and they are still uncertain of how to negotiate between these public and private worlds. They're also just beginning to develop social networks and are becoming aware of their sexuality, as Professor Sharif had mentioned. And so the kids really need our help and not punishment or reactive responses. And that's where the role of the educator and the role of the parents becomes increasingly important. I think this is some terminology that's been alluded to in previous panel sessions as well as by my colleagues, but it does have importance here because there is a little bit of a dissonance in the term, in the way that the youth are now growing up and then the way that we're now entering the digital world. So the youth are what's called digital natives because technology is so integrated into their lives, it's become second nature, they're very in tune with it, it's very intuitive, and so they're digital natives growing up in a digital world. On the other hand, we as educators, parents, and adults are digital immigrants. So although we're slowly trying to understand this online world, we're slowly adopting technology into our lives, we're beginning to use it more frequently, we're also becoming intuitive to online social media forums, we still have what's called a digital accent. And that kind of builds somewhat of a barrier when we try to introduce educational policy and reform into dialogue not only at home but at the schools. As you can see here, this is another quote from a student who is still struggling with maintaining privacy settings. And Nima had spoken about Facebook and how that's being used. So they're still trying to negotiate that. And there's a problem in the gap in using technology. So where can the parents and the educators contribute? Because online supervision is left to parents, we do, and to educators as well, when the students are going to school, it is our responsibility to begin learning about these online media tools and start also beginning the process of educating ourselves so that we can work with students at home and at school. After we conducted our Facebook-funded research, we saw that The students themselves highlighted the role that the parents and the educators need to take in this process. This is also demonstrated by Senator Jaffer when she mentioned we can't just give students a car without giving them driving lessons. We also need to take the driving lessons as educators and as parents so that we can begin fostering this dialogue at home. Students identify that they need education in public-private space. They need guidance around privacy settings, how to use them, how to manage them, how to negotiate through them. They need practice and coaching in understanding and identifying harmful behavior and harmless joking. They also need to understand what a digital footprint is, what's left behind, what's being stored, even after they sign out of these accounts. And finally, we need to have some tailored and constructed workshops that, as I argue, need to be proactive and not reactive. I think that the point that I'm trying to highlight is that we can't just teach the kids what to do. What we can do is equip them with the skills that they need so that they can make informed decisions on their own. I'll point to the work that Lester B. Pearson is doing as a model. They're doing some fantastic work around digital citizenship and digital literacy. They're really taking the idea of responsible citizenship, what they refer to as being an iCitizen, and infusing that in their curriculum, not only in just 1 hour of the day, but in a cross-curricular, multidisciplinary way, so that students are beginning to integrate technology into arts, into English, into socials, in all facets of learning. And in that sense, Lester B. Pearson is taking on a pedagogical approach and in using technology to empower students. They're also using technology to give students a voice so that they can become creative contributors to an online world. It's not just about scaring them away from these worlds, it's educating them to use it in a very responsible manner so that they have ownership and they are becoming empowered to navigate through these worlds. I think there's a lot of usage for technology within the schools. There was an example that Professor Mitchell brought up earlier regarding the cell film and using cell phones in a way to educate others and to gain those media literacy skills. So I think part of the role of the educator is to use technological tools not only in a responsible, multifaceted way, but also to show students that there are benefits of using technology, and you can be equipped with this technology, but in a way that's responsible. I think one way that we can enter the conversation is even if we don't understand what it means to be a digital citizen, everyone can enter into a conversation of what it means to be a citizen. What does it mean to be a responsible citizen? And I think that would give us a common platform and a common language in which to enter into these conversations so that our policies become proactive and sensitive to the needs of the adolescents instead of seen as a form of punishment or supervision policy or reactive in that sense. And I'll just end there and open it up to questions.